probably speak for everyone. We wish you another happy revolution.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Just beautiful to see you here in Flagstaff again. It's just great seeing you here in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very thankful too. As each revolution is different. See, I can't rehearse a revolution. That's the so, looking forward to more.
Tom, I have a question. I was thinking today about the geometry in the head, how much geometry we have, and I wondered, like, when you become self-realized, whether you stop having geometry inside you, or is it different?
Well, we must clear up, though. The word self-realization, the way it's been used, to what it actually is versus who it seems to represent. Actually, there's no S-E-L-F. There's a C-E-L-L. And a realization of the matrix and the contents and its potential is actually what exists. So when the individual gains the internal realization of the structure of the self, it becomes cosmic geometry, and then eventually the geometry can only fall under what we are conditioned to record from our eyes. And so you say square, triangle, circle. But eventually you're going to have to use some type of a sound representation to label that geometry. It's called language. So language is structured out by an alphabet. It is not a geometry. So Spinoza said God geometrizes. And finally, you're going to start to count the amount of repetitions till, as you keep watching and don't intellectualize on it, they start to phase into a unified field of pure light. It's called peace. Peace doesn't have geometry. Yet, it's a label for what? You have to use the language, which is geometry now, to call it peace. P-E-A-C-E. Then how long it will last, or how much you got, that's going to be a number. In the end, what you're looking at is blank. But then blank is again a word for what? See, that's why you go into a state of a gap, and you start quivering. And the reality of this quiver is energization or enervation. It's called energy. And it's equal to the mass individualized total at the speed light square. So you begin to quiver so fast inside that it's just waves. But you don't lose individuality, that's one good thing about it. Once given by creative intelligence, cannot be revoked. It has to experience individuality continuously in many, many labels. So, label Adano, label Jackson, label Williams. See what I mean? But this is individuality playing with labels. So the I am that I am is always going to be here, and it is you, God. Not a God, but God playing his own game by becoming us, which is various expressions of individuality. After a while, you begin to sit back and enjoy a show. Mm. You know, you say, you don't tell yourself how to run your own show. You enjoy your craziness, how you put it together. So, the more crazy it is, the more you laugh. So, yeah, that's the wonderful part of it. It's called unexpected pre-planned miracle. But it's a glow, it's a flow of the inness of yourself. Now, there's no S yet, but there's a so, which is a cohesive matrix for sonics. So sonics is all there is, interacting with mass to set up optics. So that's why they can't get around it. There's no way to explain it to ourselves other than to live it. So many of the saints will realize people who are, again we say saint, I mean people who are sane enough to not get caught up in the play of the left brain and the right brain. They begin to see the whole thing and they call them scientists. So you can look inside. So when the eyes are single, that means that don't pick up too much geometry. The whole body is full of light. The cellular structure is an encapsulation of light. And the light is shining in the darkness of the cellular structure. And the darkness comprehends it not. The momentum of the light within the light doesn't understand why light is light. Mm. That's the darkness of it, because one speed is visible and another speed is invisible. So two speeds not being equal to each other cannot comprehend one another. But let your light so shine. That is, accept what you see without analyzing it. Before who? Men? Dogs don't need it. Trees don't need it to convince, or be convinced, that they're light. It's men, you and I. This left brain, right brain gadget that walks around saying, me big this. Let this light that your cells emit as you internally watch it and interface with the glow of it, and they will question, what is it you've got that they ain't got? So they say, let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works. That's the exhaustion hanging in the game, the endurance level. So we can say, hang in there. It's an exhaustion game. Don't panic. Don't run back. Just hang in there on watch. And say that they may see the good works. What's the good works? Is that you're hanging in. Mm-hmm. You're not panicking. And glorify the Father, and which is they begin to relate to the intrinsic unity of their self in their own nature. So they feel a bond. It's called unified field, union yoga. You feel it, you live it. But you have two ways to live it. Sit down like this, till thy kingdom come. And you got a sore tuchus. But if you get up and go for running, you may enjoy it better. Because there is a not too good. You're interested in all the things around you a little bit. See, mobility is the end result. Because all life is motion. So from that standpoint, sedation or tranquilization is what Jesus referred to. The peace that the world gives. The world gives you 6 feet under the ground. Sedation. Tranquilization. And may you rest in peace with a big stone over your head, 6 feet under the ground, in some cemetery. But he said, but the peace I give, the world don't give. This I amness, what it gives us inside is our intrinsic capacity to function in a mobile state, to glow. As you get up and flow. But that is the strength to cope. And that's it. What a realized person is offering another person who doesn't realize how they put together what they are. That this internal mechanism frees us if we watch it but don't analyze it. If you try to analyze it, you can't be freed by it because what? You didn't put it together, so how you can analyze it? But that's the game, because if you don't play that game, you feel stupid. But as long as you play the game of analyzing it, it'll entertain you from now to midnight eternity. If you watch it, you even enjoy it better, because why? It's constantly surprising you that you didn't know how stupid you were before you found out how smart you are. See? And after you find out how smart you are, you wish you didn't know how stupid you were before. So you still don't look at it. But that's the name of the day. Free men are all out of yourselves. It's wonderful.
Donna, why would we want to sleep now that we understand that that's going unconscious? Is it the body mind? We haven't beat that programming to stay awake enough?
The craving to shut down, to take a rest, is programmed in by the creative intelligence. 6 days he labor, 1 day did he go rest. But that was a misnomer of program. How can the creative intelligence rest? You wouldn't be wrong. Right? So he's working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at his own creation, by, I only got time for me. I only got time for me. But to tell it that, we'll abuse it. So, by programming it to say, 6 days it labored and 1 day it rest, is that what it is saying, that structural principles have a built-in conservation process set up to keep it going eternally. That's why energy is equal to the mass times the velocity of light squared. It isn't created nor destroyed, so it interfaces with individuality, playing on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. So we sense this particular function, so we work towards that feeling. But then the illusion is to delude ourselves to sleep. When we break that illusion and don't allow the body to sleep, we reclaim our identity. And that is what free man or Lord of the Self.
So even if we don't want to not sleep, as long as we're allowing the body to do it, that's all, we just haven't taken charge enough.
Yes. But the thing is this, the body per se can rest intermittently by the respiratory control, and you are consciously watching.
To stay awake.
So no matter how many people in the room and think you're like this, you're watching them from inside just laughing, because why? If they were to come and put a mirror under your nose to see if you're breathing or not, you'll do like your fish war budding experimentalist, but it's like a challenge. I ain't there yet. So Yogananda had to learn that when he taught, the teacher had shut down and was dead or something. The teacher was looking at him through the tissue nature and allowing him to feel that he left the room or gone. But the body seemed to be inactive, mm-hmm. when it actually left. The body is totally conscious, but it's not intellectualizing.
Oh.
It's totally conscious all the time, watching, and it's revitalizing itself, but in an immobile state. So Yogananda, being a fisty guy, he'd want to find out, check the little scientist, he'll poke around. Hey, man. So the teacher opened his eyes and said, what are you trying to do? That blew his mind away, because he ain't getting no fog off the glass from the nose. The guy gotta be dead, right? Mm-hmm. That's how your scientific thinking is. He ain't moving, so he ain't breathing. And you lift the hand up, pump, like a, it's in a state of a Novocaine or rigid. But then when the person is responding, and then may tell him in detail what the heck he was doing, that'll freak him out.
So when you're watching, you've actually turned off the programs. In other words, the intellectualizing would be like lying and thinking about this and this and this, whereas you shut that down. You just observe what is taking place in the system, and because others are part of you, they're actually in you, so you is that what you mean by see through the tissue nature?
That's right.
Because there's no separation.
There's
a separation. Unified field?
It's a unified field.
So you slow down to become at one. You can't get away with anything then, can you, Don?
Donna, is it possible? I was reading a book the other day, and I don't know. I was curious. It was somebody that was channeling, and they said that they channeled God, and that God had things that we should know right now, and that's why that it was in this book. And I wanted to know, is that book sound like it might be legitimate? It was talking about lost will. It was talking about God's creation from the start, and lost will and guilt and denial and the things it's causing right now. And is that, should we be, if I read that, should I pay any attention to it, or? I just wasn't sure. It was a pretty good book.
It's a nice preparation to make you think, but then the question is, why would God need to be channeled?
Well, maybe, I didn't know that. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, because then God isn't everywhere then. No, because if God is everywhere, then by the same token, the devil need to be channeled too. No, you have to look at the facts. God, what does God really represent? They say to estimate or evaluate God, God is omnipresent, all present. That means it can be no place, absent from. Now, if he's omnipresent, who is going to be responsible for channeling God?
Each person.
Which person?
all of us.
But us don't exist.
Oh.
So that's the biggest lie we ever put upon our own head, to say we are here. Now, if we're all lying long dead in this room, and God walk in the room and says, "Hi folks, what do you want? You want your breath back? Some miracles to perform? Or possessions to hold on to? Or the ability to channel be?" What are you gonna say?
To channel you, of course. Oh.
If you don't breathe, you'll do nothing. So the thing boils down to see how there's a mind game play with the person. After you see through it, you can play the game. In actuality, why would God want to be channeled?
That's why I thought I'd ask you. I didn't understand. Well, who was it then?
The person's own fear to face themselves, because they need to be accepted. So they're channeling their self-acceptance, calling it God.
Who was the one that got rebuked?
Hmm?
That called up, that visited the witch of, was it Indor or somebody, that got rebuked for calling up a master of
Oh yeah, right.
In the Bible,
King Solomon was a student of Samuel, a great guru or prophet in those days. And Samuel passed on to vacation. Nobody dies, everybody goes on vacation. So he went on vacation. And therefore Saul, being a king and a student of this teacher, felt lost because he couldn't make contact. This means he didn't do his homework. He had to sit down, close his eyes and look inside and make contact with his teacher. So he was in a state of quandary. So he went looking for somebody who could make contact. That means they spent time to do the homework. So the person was called a witch. In other words, it's a very poor expression of what they're doing with her. And she lived in a place called Endor. And it was a woman who had the ability to slow her brain down and be a medium or a channel. And so Saul went to her in disguise, so she wouldn't recognize him, because she really chastised her. "Hello, you're a king, you're supposed to be a student of this person you come to ask me for, where you come here, you see?" So he had to play it cool. So he disguised himself, he went and looked for this person, and then asked her to contact Samuel for him. Well, naturally, she would love to, because after all, she don't know who this person is, in this robe and everything either. And so she started to intone through her methods, you know, to get Samuel to come to talk to Saul. So as soon as Samuel left the etheric level to crystallize, he exposed Saul. He said, "Saul, what you called me for?" Then you can imagine the woman, she now is exposed, but the guy is exposed too. And then he's chastising her for waking him up to go talk to this jerk. So she threw Saul in the house and never again to be able to do her channeling, because Samuel really blasted through them together. So Saul went back home exposed as a king who had no real contact with his teacher and had to go look for somebody to be a telephone booth for him. So that's why the communication of the saint was a matrix when the early church started to form itself. If these people were really in tune with their teacher, they must have a different type of communication that will transcend channeling. A the communication was called communion with seeds, literal physical manifestation to be touched and felt. And that's why in the disciples, when Jesus came through the door of the wall, he didn't walk through the regular door, he went through the wall, and he said to Thomas, "Here, Thomas, come check me out. I'm not a channel, you know. There are a lot of people down here. If you think I'm a..." So Thomas thought he was some kind of figment of imagination or some kind of weird photography. "No, check him out, see there, make sure. Put your hand there, see? Flesh and blood like yours, good? Satisfied? Got anything to eat? Yeah. Okay, eat with you guys. Ta-ta, see you tomorrow." when you need me, not when you want me.
Oh.
That's the same thing with Lahiri Mahesha and Babaji. Because he told Lahiri he will come when he wanted him, Lahiri went to the extent to summon him to show to his friends that he was in contact with this great being. So he had a room, and when he went in the room, Babaji appeared and he says, "What you call me for? These jerks, I don't believe nothing, but well, I'm not going to disappoint them because it's your word." So, but next time, I ain't coming because you want me, it's when you need me. So from now on, make sure you do your mouth, because atoms are working by sonics. See, he had to learn his lesson too. So he opened the door, and the friends all looked at him. But he says, "I'm not a figment of imagination kind of feel." And they were satisfied, and yet with them, that's the tangible thing.
Can the developed person who's gone on vacation feel more? Remember the story he gave us again about the Hawaii guy? but he said to her the one thing that he couldn't experience was feeling.
Yes.
Well, is that different for like this, for say Jesus or somebody coming through? Is it a whole different experience for them?
Yes.
They can feel?
Yeah.
So it depends on the how you go on vacation, the speed of the atomic structure, is that how it relates to being able to touch the person or not, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we can touch you when you come visit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But that's why you're given the technique and the initiation to see the actual contact, and let it validate. That's why you have to test it to validate it, that you're not a victim of your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why it's atomic science.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there are two models left in the environment to remind us of what we are versus who we are. A butterfly doesn't rot. A moth flies to the light and dies. There's a big difference between a moth and a butterfly.
So, Madonna, is that what you're trying to show us about ourselves? It's like we could be like a moth, sort of starting and stopping and starting and stopping, whereas if we got what you're saying, we wouldn't fall asleep. And that changes you into the diamond body and the butterfly?
That's right. Because if the caterpillar spins the cocoon, which is a form of shutdown or no sleep state, to the point where it emerges as a butterfly.
Mm.
But the moth doesn't do that.
Right.
The moth flies directly to the light to inquire what the light is. A butterfly isn't concerned with the light. It's already transformed itself from caterpillar to butterfly. So it continues to be in the sphere of activity, performing normal function. But there is no rotten butterfly. But there sure is a rather burnt up rotten moth. So now, the moth is a model of this something for nothing psychic phenomena.
Hmm. Oh.
The butterfly is a something for something phenomena. you don't get something for nothing. You put out the effort to clean up yourself to warrant the non-breakdown pattern. But if creative intelligence didn't set up the models for its own individualization as a form to look at, to participate, it wouldn't have a blueprint to work with. So the blueprint is already left here in the ecology or environment for us to participate and see the difference between the two, which of the two we will adhere to. So, as a child, we're entitled to the mod behavior, something for nothing. As the adult, we should be focusing on the butterfly, the something for something attitude. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to be pampered by your mom and dad as a kid, growing up, but then there comes a point where you gotta assume the right to be yourself, take care of your consciousness and activity, and then the unified field flows back. So these two models are there, the moth and the butterfly. The DNAs and RNAs are set up to, and here's the funny thing. Between the moth and the butterfly, which is the most beautiful?
Butterfly.
Good. Of all the creatures that can fly, or designed to fly, there is none more beautiful than the butterfly. And a butterfly isn't designed to fly, it's a result of a caterpillar transforming itself into this particular result.
Interesting polarity there, huh?
Yeah.
Slow crawling thing.
That's right. Yeah. So what it's telling you, that the process is in the colon. That's why it's shaped like a colon.
Oh, God, that's wild.
See, through your mouth you achieve God realization. So it's already set up to do it naturally. But then you'll find that all the great ones who have done it by abstaining or by injury, those are the secondary or alternatives. But the natural process of eating your way to butterflyhood is existing.
Adano, is that something that you realized like long time ago, or like that you just one day figured out by?
No, I fell off a building because I wanted to all my karma, and so I asked Yogananda for all my karma. So I fell off a building and broke up my body and died 3 times. I know for sure. If you were to get all your karma, you're in no moment, you wouldn't be lying down or getting up, because you'd be going through the death experience over and over and over and over and over and over. See, like a certain spiritual brother walked in the room years ago when he came to this country from India, and he walked in and he's been invited. And he looked at me and he says, "Hi, brother, of 140,000 incarnations, eh?" Now, he pinpointed the amount of time I've been around. So I says, "Yeah," which tells me he's around 140,000 incarnations too. So you recall why? It takes one to know one from the unified field, because we all got to come out from the unified field.
So 140, then you died 3 times when you jumped off the building, so this is the last 140, right?
That was very good, Terry.
Intellect is worth it.
So one lifetime for every element, huh?
Right.
1,000 times over.
That's right. Now you know why you got those better lotus.
Tell me how many
times I've been here. Getting the mathematics. So everybody in this room is 140,000 incarnation too, huh?
Really?
Otherwise you won't be sitting with me.
Why would we be?
This is for the glory of God.
Excuses.
So we started off.
Come back 3 points.
I love it.
I'm still chicken to ask you for all my karma.
I've done it twice, and he told me if I said it one more time, look at it.
when you're machine is on hold, and you're in the unified field. The maybe it's like to have conscious, unlimited consciousness. You're observing all the time?
Yes.
Okay.
But you're not analyzing.
Huh?
You're not analyzing.
No, no analyzing, but you're watching. The action needs to be taken somewhere else. What part of the system takes over?
Let's use a better word to describe the function. The word is called camerizing instead of computerizing. So then, if you understand the function of a camera, which part of the camera is doing the work, especially if it's a Polaroid?
It's got to be the film.
Good. So the film is placed into the camera without any impression until it's exposed to light. And as soon as it's exposed to light, then it creates an impression called negative. But because it's a Polaroid process, the exposure to the light will go through a phase down within the enclosure of the chemistry to act out as a print. So the film works from blank through negative to print within the camera. So that particular attitude is what you're trying to recognize about yourself, the camerizing principle over the computerizing principle of your energy.
So at that point, if you think, therefore it is.
That's right. That's right. If you have faith in me, like a grain of mustard seed, you see how the mountain move, it moves. But we use the word faith without really understanding what we say to ourselves. There's a lot of nebulous labels about it. Faith is conviction. So, the me is memory. So if you're convinced from your memory that you can act what you say, you will experience it atomically. Because the memory of you is atoms already. And the conviction of you is that you want to bring it into manifestation. So a grain of this conviction, the size of a mustard seed, would be very, very small. So you would have to generate some type of tension within the mechanism to warrant the conviction for the memory to crystallize into an actual experience. Now, but conviction without hope is blind faith, fanatical faith, fanatical conviction.
Well, I'm not sure I understand without hope. It sounds like it has a lot of hope in it.
The man didn't die because of his lack of faith. He died because he gave up the hope to live. We don't die from a lack of faith. We die from the hope to live. Now, there's a big difference between the faith being a conviction and the hope being a what?
Desire.
A desire, right. So the desire to live is hope, and the conviction is the faith. But if you don't desire, you don't continue. So it's not faith, hope, and charity. It's hope, faith, then charity is the correct sequence. You have to hope that God hoped to create this universe before he convinced himself he's creating it. Then he's generous enough to let it play with itself. See, that's the correct sequence. It's not faith, hope, and charity. They put faith, hope, and charity from the context of a process of talking, and but it's not really valid in the sequence. The sequence is actually hope, faith, charity. That's the actual sequence inside of yourself.
I guess I've had the programming of not understanding what the word hope
that's right
meant, because I always thought it's like it's almost like I'll believe it if I see it.
Yeah,
it's sort of what's about the energy behind it,
right? But man constantly has to live in a state of hope to demonstrate his faith. In other words, you must have the environment before you can have the contents in the environment. You must have this container to put the hot tea in. Do I want to drink the tea? But if I don't have a container, where am I going to put it? So I hope to drink a cup of tea because I'm here at Mr. Cantrell's house. He's got all the water in the pan. So I'm convinced he'll give me a glass of tea before I left the house. But when would he give it to me? So I'm hoping. See what I mean? Right.
And your faith made of
it. Yeah, the faith goes alive. Okay. No, he's generous enough to give it to everybody. You see, when you begin to work with the thing, then you sort out the who from the what. That's after a while, it's really a nice realization to come to the what, because you see the sequence of things.
It's like we, in my experience, it's little windows of whatness.
Yeah.
But the programming of who-ness is so ever-present and so strong.
Yes.
That
the reason for that is the skin precedes the contents of the banana. So great emphasis is upon the skin.
That's my friend.
Yeah,
I've done a Hudasha there.
How could you, Chiquita?
The skin precedes the contents of the banana. See, the skin has to come before it. The skin has to be around it. You can't eat the banana without it. The blueprint.
Oh, the who's the skin and the what's the banana?
The what is the banana. That's what you're going to eat. The who is the skin. Is it green? Is it yellow? Is it brown? Is it ripe? Is it rotting? That's all the who's. Well, the banana inside is what you're going to eat. So the skin is the who. And the what is the banana. But the who comes first. Because you have to contact that till you break it open and then see what you got inside to eat. So plantain is the real test of the banana that can't get ripe. You got to cook it. So no matter how you got the plantain and it's there, you don't want to eat it, it'll never get ripe for you to eat it. Because the skin is a who around it. And if you have to apply the heat to cook the plantain, so that the inside of the plantain pops open now, and the skin rips apart from the heat, and then you eat the plantain. So that's more accurate realization of the who and the what.
So, Adana, does the apple represent the what? Because you said it has nothing to do with the health, which would be the who, wouldn't it?
That's right.
So it's really, that's representative of the what. And so, but that means that there's different sonics to do with the what level.
That's
in
right.
Other words, but I thought in the unified field there would be a oneness.
The
wouldn't
oneness
it seem like
is
all what's
the
together?
The oneness is the experience of participating. That's the oneness. The who-ness is the relativity of wishing to participate and never participate. It's like you looking through the window of a store and you wish to buy the what? The merchandise hung up there. Okay. And you go back and forth every day looking through the window of the store, but you don't buy the product. And that's what you call the hues. And you keep looking at the colors and the hues of it. And you're always going to look in your pocket, I ain't got enough to buy. That's the what. But then you may take a chance and go in and say, how much you want for this thing? Well, the price is so much. I don't have that kind of money. Well, you can open up a credit. That's the compensatory condition now.
Oh.
You got anybody who can vouch for you? Or a layaway plan? See, all these different compensatory conditions. So pay a little, come and then pick it up. See, these are different compensatory conditions based upon your approval or credibility. So you ask for an initiation now. Me, I was very smart. I didn't want no ego game. So if Big Daddy, you don't approve you, I know I ain't got no. So let him approve you, he could initiate you, zap you. So that's the compensatory condition of your credibility. You're on a layaway plan, or your credit is good enough to meet your commitment, and that's the approval. Between the who and the what. It's not a cut and dry, there's always that bridge. Because it would be very destructive if it was just cut and dry like that. So it's a yes, no, maybe. Polarity all the time.
Okay, so excuse me, so if you, this is last incarnation, okay? Mm-hmm. Just assume, okay? Mm-hmm. And 140,000, so max three or four more. If once you've somebody's vouched for you, you come back, there will be somebody there to vouch for you again, or not? See what I'm saying?
Yes, no, maybe.
No, I was afraid of that one.
Why? They're the good ones. I wanted to mention.
Yes, somebody will be there to vouch for you. Yes, the same person who vouched you in the first place will be waiting for you. Now you see, you didn't think of that one. So you can't be left to yourself. Because God
will all pull you back. Right?
So God is only got time for what? God. By playing the who and the what all the time. Who show is it in the first place? Big Daddy's show.
Big Daddy.
But he's playing little Junior. See? So that's why the thing is like that. He's already becoming the show. He's already becoming the players in the show. And he's already becoming the interactions in it. So, by and large, he entertains himself by playing the roles of Junior. But it's his show.
Okay, can you, is it possible then to get to the fully realized, whatever you want to label you put on, what state, without receiving all of your karma in one lifetime? In other words, the big payoff.
Yes, no, maybe. Number one, yes, you can get there. No, you can't get there as long as you believe you got karma. Uh-huh. And maybe, because there is no karma but misapplied decisions, deliberately set up for you to experience, because you don't know you're playing a game with your own nose. You already recognizing and accepting your immortality by living in the now and breathing.
Ah, so if you had known then what you do now, you wouldn't have to fall off the building.
Good, you see how smart you get?
I feel a lot better.
You see, but the understanding was delayed. You see, you call it what did I know? The understanding was delayed for the incident to bring out the experience. So now that you understand what it's all about, not that you know, you don't know. You understand.
Understand, but we still don't know.
What is there to know, right? There's nothing there to know, because knowing is consciousness. Understanding is the process that you work in. That's why Paul said, I rebuke you, you're rejoicing all the gimmicks you're working with. For I live and die daily in the Lord. And understanding is the fruit of spirit, not the magical powers. So if understanding is that process, then when you understand why these things work in their simple ways to give you credibility for yourself, you don't have to go show off no more.
Yeah.
So he decided to go be a tent maker. Well, you know what that did to the people then, because after all, here the guy gonna work for himself, all the people around him gonna follow him, they ain't got no more slaves. So you better crucify that guy. Let's get rid of him. He's a threat to our economy. So they kill him.
Yeah.
They don't want nobody to be self-employed. He's a rebel. They want a bunch of them hanging on to their tributes.
So last night you asked us if we wanted to ask questions or learn about some disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little discourse on some disciplines.
Oh boy. Discipline number one.
Don't panic.
Yeah, answer it right there. That's the discipline number one. Don't panic. If you want to take a next step in the discipline, live what you see. Because it deals with sonics. So what you said can generate panic if you don't live it. And if you're afraid to face it and go through it, it'll generate panic. So that's what the discipline now. So if you live what you say and you don't panic, the last discipline is the things I do, you do also, and greater things shall you do as the need pops up. End of the discipline. There you see, the discipline is very simple.
Donna, when you say live what you say, I feel like there's something I just don't see quite clear about that. In other words, if the things we say we're going to do, that they always match up, that you fulfill them.
Action is a function of mechanical movement based upon statement as an instruction or a theory preceding the action or a label. So every action has a label. Now if the action doesn't match the label, then we have an incorrect action or an incorrect label?
Incorrect label.
So that's, now Yogananda would say, if that be the case, throw away the label but keep the action and get another label. So because you have to live the word, so the label has to match the action.
So really then, before you do anything, it's the old thing of you think before you'd even speak. In other words, everything you do, you can't just idly...
Good. Now that is very valid what you said. So here is the guideline to that. If everything else fail, follow instructions.
Follow instructions.
I didn't say go write them or regulate them. You don't write up instructions and you don't regulate them. If everything else fail, follow instruction. So instruction is already the label for the action. So today now, in this wonderful do-it-yourself society, we buy different things and it's marked do-it-yourself. Do it yourself. It is getting you to accept action to label, to instruction. So you cannot generate erroneous notions about the action But as soon as you feel incompetent, pick up the book of instructions and see where you're going wrong, why it's not coming out. You'll see that the instructions are there, and if you follow them, you come out having a functional machine. But this sounds great. Now, if you follow the instructions and your machine is working pretty good, and you have one piece left over, and it's still working good, you're a genius. After you follow the instructions.
What's the dedicated?
If you follow the instructions.
It's what you've said.
Of putting the object together or acting out anything. And you have one piece left over and the machinery is still working pretty good, you're a genius. Because the instructions should cover every piece of the machinery to keep it functioning, right? So if you follow instructions and you can't fool yourself, you should have the working machinery. And if it's working and you find yourself and have an extra piece and then you fit it, it's still working good, you're a genius to arrive at this particular ability to put the machine together and have one piece left over. Now, if you follow the instructions and put the whole thing together, you have nothing left over and it's working beautiful, that means you did obey the instructions, you're a mechanic. Now, if you follow the instructions and you put it together, you need a piece to make it function, you're a dumb cuff. That's only the yes, the only baby of all the things that exist around us.
Oh, Adam, I have something I want to read to you.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about just watch. This was on a old computer in the lab that we had to do an experiment on. It has all these switches on it and lights and wires coming off it. It's ancient. And this is what a little sign was on it. I was looking at it and I started to reach out and I saw the sign. I read this sign, so I wrote it down. Achtung! Alles lookens gepiepers. Dice's computer machine is nicked for Gerfingerfalken und Mittengraben. Ist easy snapper der Springworks, Glon fusen and popping corken mit Spitzensparken. Est is nicht for Gerworken by das Dunkoff. Das Lover necken sightseeing keeper hands in their pockets relaxing and watch them lights blinking.
I love that. Xerox copy. I love that.
That is so cute.
That is neat.
That was on a machine?
Yeah. That is neat. Thank you.
Linda was the English translation.
That is neat. I love that. Put your finger in there. Don't go.
So I just pulled my hand back and watched the lights.
Hello.
I thought everybody would be quiet meditating or something.
Oh, we've been.
We were.
We went through what is called the sedation technique, now we're in the activated technique.
Was that a new tape that was on?
Sounds better every time you
hear it. Sounds different every time.
I thought it was at a different speed. See, Donnie, you put me at a different speed now.
How about a Christmas story? Do you have a Christmas story?
Christmas story. Well,
Jingle bells?
Jingle bells.
Oh, God.
Is the 25th the actual day of Dhamma, of what it should be at Christmas, for what people celebrate, for what really...
25th of December? Yeah.
It is yeah. The...
He was a Capricorn. And so, by virtue of Saturn dominant in his life, he brought the disciplines. And then you trace it back by... go all the way back to the year 4 BC, which is AD 1, and then it's the that particular night would be valid astrologically for a being manifesting on the planet to lift up the consciousness of the world. So, therefore, the wise men who were astrologers and were kings in their own country left to go to that moment in time to experience the contact, and they brought the gifts. They were already foreseeing that there was someone about to be born to lift up the consciousness of men. So they knew that already. And therefore, when they did arrive, they arrived after he was born. He born on the 25th of December. The wise men arrived after he born. They didn't arrive before he was born. The one of the things of the birth, though, of Jesus, is that Christ consciousness is the creative consciousness within the vibratory creation, and the man Jesus came to exemplify that principle. But we sell ourselves short to believe that we don't have that in us, when in actuality we are all sons of God, male, female. The light of God is in all of us, like a sun. But the acceptance of it at the conscious level is what they call Christ consciousness. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, the creative consciousness is emanating its radiance in its creation and is very well pleased for it to be realized by its creation, whenever the creation decides to realize it. Therefore, the creation is granted individuality, like an ostrich with his head in the ground after it's been chased by a kitten. So it runs for like a mad, and then it hides its head in the ground, never to get up to look to see what chased it. So the bulk of mankind is like that, with our heads in the world of limitation to the intellect and the five senses. But then you pull your head out of that level of the five senses and the intellect and suspend the left brain, right brain oscillation. Intuition, which is the knowingness, independent of the senses, begins to predominate. Superman emerges out of Clark Kent. So, the Christ emerges out of Jesus. You see? Oh, and the same is true of you and I. So he says, to reinforce this fact is, if the Son of Man, now it's not the Son of God, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto me. Well, man is manifestation. And if the Son, that's the radiant light in the manifestation, is within the atoms, are raised from the sensory level through the intellectual level up to the intuitive level or Superman level, then every other person would automatically sense their own identity and lift theirself up. So he was a working model of raising his light within the cellular structure from the five senses through the intellect to the intuitive level. So while I'm in the world, I am light of the world. And to be in the world, but not of the world. That means to be in the world, but not in the whirl of it. But you see, they never classify that, and that's the big erroneous notion of the agricultural language versus the technical validation of what is actually occurring in the atomic structure. Creative intelligence is like a cup. Creative intelligence is also like the drink inside the cup. So creative intelligence acts two ways: container, content. Individuality is the heat in the content. Now, is the heat in the liquid or is it in the cup that holds the liquid?
It's in the liquid.
Both. It's in both. But finally it goes where? Where does the heat finally goes?
Into the air.
In the air. So we all fall hot air. So we are nothing but hot air. So our individuality and our egotism isn't really any valid source to focus upon or trust. It is a means to help us to accept ourselves better. And since it's that, then we have to suspend it and look at our true self of what we are. And so the actual light inside the structure, if it is lifted up through these three blinkers, one is the five senses, two the intellectual right brain, left brain labeling of objects around us, and three, intuition, knowing from within oneself, independent of the senses, you are God. You're not going to become a God. God become you. So if it says, if I be lifted up, if this particular understanding is lifted up through these three states, it'll draw all other men, manifestation of the same phenomena, back to the same point of reference.
Is that a little bit of what you were talking about last night in, I'm making a connection that maybe is more in what I've been reading than in what you're seeing, but I was making a connection last night when you talked about the gap. And that you had to bridge that gap. And is that what you're talking about a little bit right now? And that you have to, you actually do. It's not so much that you have to get where you're always in the state of intuitive knowledge. You have to bring the intuitive through the intellect.
That's right.
Okay.
In other words, you got to get behind the telephone booth to be Superman.
Okay.
There's a big incident outside going on outside the big printing office. And he just got a phone call that the calamity is about to occur. And nobody's there to go make any change or correct. So everybody goes into a state of a quasi-quandary and quasi-panic. So he's going to sit down and figure out now what can he do to change the situation so it goes back to normal. So he works through the charade of playing Clark Kent and going through, and then he slips out into the back room, and bingo, he's Superman, he's gone through the window to go see the calamity that's really going to create the panic and everything, and then he's going to restructure it. That's what intuition is, or the Christ in man. Okay. So,
Why is there a panic in the face of that gap?
Well, the comedy is this. Expectancy generates fear of incompleteness.
And the incompleteness is...
There's a panic button if you fail to complete it.
Because you're kind of left
right, and so
mindless.
Right. So you have to have this as a stirring up process to keep you going and not to panic. So hang in there is your best reminder or mantra. And if you want the validity for that being a mantra, hanging in there, you go back to the sperm and the ovum and you say to yourself, boy, I'm the winner. I've got the sperm and ovum. No matter what the heck is going on, I'm going to hang in here because I'm a winner. And so this now fades down the pressure of the panic. And in a strange way, your timing in that particular quandary suddenly starts to synchronize so uniquely that the prearranged surprise is the miracle. You get through in a way that you never thought was possible.
Now, the only way we're going to be in that state is through meditation.
No.
No.
Meditation is a way to evaluate it by not acting upon it immediately by in a non-mobile state. But as soon as you're going to have to resolve it, you have to be in the mobile state. So that's the extra extension of the meditation. So meditation has two functions. To evaluate in the immobile state, to act in the mobile state to reconcile it.
So that's like your 24-hour meditation in a sense.
Yeah.
You don't just stop it by going within, you carry it right through.
Right.
The outer and the inner become one thing.
Exactly. So it's mental energy directing individual thought activities, transforming intuitive or independent observation and oneness of nature or noumena. So you have to be able to reevaluate, sit down and look at it, and then apply it. You have the twofold function. You observe and then you integrate. So it's called observation and oneness. So meditation is a function implying first the evaluation, second the application. It's not something you go and sit up and forget. So most people think that is what meditation is. But the churches have begun to differentiate the two states by calling the first stage meditation and the second stage contemplation. The active state of meditation. You contemplate the action. You gotta act out. So
that would change pretty much the way we look at any of our actions too, wouldn't it?
Yes.
We act the same, but so we look at it a lot differently.
I look at it this way. I buy the banana, and I smell it, and I feel it. And then I decide I'm going to peel it. That's meditation in the immobile state. Then when I put the...
Deciding to peel it.
Right.
Okay.
And when I put the... peel it, that's when I go eat the banana. Okay, I can't cover it back up now. And that's the next step. So you have both conditions to consider. The mobile and the immobile state. The active or the non-active state. But the process is there. That you have to reassess what you're going to act out, and then you finally have to act it. So it's called thought word. As a first process of meditation, you can think of it, talk a lot about it, but the last thing you got to act it. So thought word deed. They got all these things that have been handed down, but just put it in proper action and apply it.
Adam, You know, you said that Christ was under the influence of Saturn and he brought disciplines, and that's why everybody wound up taking all the statements and trying to act them out of the way. Don't be of the world, so they all ran off in the caves. And
right.
That type of thing. You know, even though they were making mistakes, they were applying discipline. Yeah. So what's the Aquarian?
The Aquarian cycle is not to be attached or rigid to the evaluation of your nature, but to be flexible moment to moment with your nature, so you're constantly acting out what you say to yourself. You're not postponing the action. By your flexibility and by the fact that you're not going to panic anymore or set up any kind of a screen for evasion of action, you immediately confront the action and live it. So you're going to live your word more and more in the Aquarian cycle by your flexibility.
You mean all of us are?
Yeah.
Just for...
Yeah. It is a period where the planet Earth and the Sun is moving around Alpha Centauri to match definite lift in consciousness. And so the lift in consciousness is a drop in fixation and expression of flexibility. You're going to be more flexible. You're going to be more aware of the obvious simple things that you ignored because you were too fixated about so many things you didn't want to pay any attention to. The very simple things that you were trying to evade and were not obvious because it were fixed in our thinking, they become so obvious after a while that we start to be flexible. We see our way out very fast.
Where's the discrimination in that, Adano? Because with what you're saying, that's going on with a lot of people where they're more bringing up everything right as it, you know, to get things cleaned up. But on the other hand, that can drive people crazy too, because it's like wanting to clean up every day. You just have everything cleaned up, and for a lot of people who, in the rigidity pattern, that can drive one crazy. So where's the balance of being in that flow and not necessarily having to feel you do it in your dramas all the time? Mm. Is it just an inner, or is it still good if it's on the inner to verbalize it out? Like, just to understand that balance.
Each one will be flexible upon his own configuration. Therefore, your cross is your cross, and my cross is my cross. Mm. But the mode of operation is to be flexible within your cross or horoscope. Mm-hmm. The mode of my operation is to be flexible within my own horoscope. So I cannot live your horoscope, you can't live mine. Right. So though we mingle together, you may want to go fast, and I may want to go slow, I may want to go fast, but the flexibility would be the driving force.
That's how people would blend then. As long as they're flexible,
right,
there would be the compromise built
that's
in.
That's exactly, and therefore their timing would be more and more in relation to the stresses that they have to cope. Mm. So
everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Yeah.
Thank you. So some of the what seems like drama is just stuff that we really do have to live out.
Yes.
It's just we can get ourselves through it a lot easier.
Right.
If we see it as a drama kind of.
Good. Okay, now. Did you see the picture cocoon?
Uh-huh.
Good. Who was the fixated individual in that whole group?
The guy who wouldn't go on the ship.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. The guy who wouldn't go on the ship and his wife died and he wanted the guy to throw water to bring him back. Mm-hmm. That's what we call fixation, all the way through to the end. Mm-hmm. But you must respect that fixation too. Because why? He had no other alternative to be flexible. So like your hand, you got four fingers and a sore thumb. So one individual out of the whole group is going to be what? A dump off. So nature has to have something to give a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say he's of the old school, and these are the people who are in the transformation to the new school. So that comparison is what helps us to accept the transformation. If we didn't have a comparison to relate to, we wouldn't see it.
If sometimes we were the
right. Now, we're moving from fixation to flexibility in the Aquarian cycle. When we get to the Capricorn cycle, we're going to be doing something entirely different from flexibility.
When
we're approaching the Capricorn cycle,
uh-huh. What happens?
We have to do something else.
What will it be?
We ain't ready for it yet. You see, one thing at a time.
Get flexibility first.
Be flexible, Donna. Donna, and tell us what.
We won't get it anyway.
Let me think of what a goat does.
Plots
his head.
No.
Eats garbage.
No.
No, what
is
a goat do?
It sacrifices.
Oh.
Oh my God!
Can we skip that?
No, we can't.
Is that a full cycle then?
Wow!
Is that a full cycle then? Isn't that what Christ age was? Yes. Capricorn age, which is
he came in at the Capricorn to show in the Piscean age.
Oh,
yeah. See, he sacrifice himself to rise above the fixation of the Piscean cycle. Now we are going into the Aquarian cycle of flexibility, and therefore those who hang in here trying to build it are performing the Capricorn function of the Aquarian cycle of flexibility.
And how long is the cycle?
Well, it goes from the metal is the age,
right?
And the cycle is the 12 cycles of 2000.
2000. And an age is 10.
An age is 24. So you have 12 signs of the zodiac of 2000. Years per cycle, which gives us 24. So the metal is involved in that whole 24,000 years going through the 12 different cycles of how to use metal. Then you go to the next metal. There are only four of them.
What comes after bronze? Silver?
Silver. And then gold. Then you have the ascending function and the descending function around the Alpha Centauri movement.
Just like our organs.
So it goes this way and this way.
Is that the center of our galaxy, Alpha Centauri? Mm-hmm. Now is the whole thing moving? I was hearing someone talking about how the whole solar system is also moving into another fairly recently created part of deep space, which would have a whole another set of frequencies that we've never, that man has never encountered. So it's not just revolving around Alpha Centauri, but the whole enchilada moving through space.
Good, all right. Now you understand why we belong to the Hare family. And Mr. Hare is fat hair. And fat can expand and expand and expand, so there's no boundary lines for fat. And mutt hair is more of the fat. And the children is be hair. So we have all the options, no wherever fat and mutt go, to be. Because it's hair family. Hair now is in the now. And in the now, you don't go no place out of. So you can't be lost. You can only be found because you have recognized you are a winner. So Hare family is basically structured set up for eternity.
So we don't go anywhere.
We don't go anywhere, we go here. So to be here now is a winner. And it's the greatest principle of the cosmos put together in terms of words to accept its own mechanics. There is no guilt, there is no frustration, or no hell or hell to go to. You are here, in the here present.
Well, to be, I think this is a little bit in line with Cheryl's question. To get flexible, do you have to go through any past dramas, or can you just deal with now? Can you actually just kind of let it go, whether it was birth traumas or... I think it was Ken that told me you'd done rebirthing. You do rebirthing with people. Is that a necessary process to go through for some people, or is it...
It's for everybody. Because why?
Would that take you back to that kind of... that interaction with sperm and ovum, or is that a...
It establishes for you, on a factual level, the reason why you are what you are, and not have reasons to blame others for what is happening to you, and they are not valid reasons. Mm. See, but when you go back to your matrix, that's why seek ye first, the kingdom of God, which is the matrix, which is within you. It's not outside. And it's righteousness, how the laws operate, so you don't throw the blame on anyone for your mucking up.
Uh-huh.
And it will free you. Therefore, it cancels every guilt trip that you have put on yourself or others. Free men all, Lord of the Cell. This actual structure that you work on as a spacesuit and as a spacecraft. And it is permanent if you accept how it's structured out to do what it's supposed to do, not who you think it's supposed to do. So the what takes priority over the who. So you begin to look in now, from that standpoint, your structure. And therefore you have to go back to the matrix, the mother and the father. And in the matrix it is stated, I will visit the misapplied decisions or sins. There are no sins, only misapplied decisions of the parent onto three or four repetitions. So if that being a built-in function, then wherever you are and wherever you decide to look in, you may be at the third or the fourth repetition, but you want to put the thing into proper context so that you're not victimizing yourself by erroneous labeling or dumping the conditions for your problems and think it's someone else to blame when in actuality it is not to blame. Is set up for each one of us to face as a matrix and have the opportunity to become free from that particular limitation.
Okay.
So if you don't have the limitation as a test, you won't be able to free yourself from it. But if you are already God made manifest in a individualized state, then the qualities of God are in you. So come, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Then what is the likeness? The power to resolve the fixations from the frame of reference, which is the image. So the image is that frame of reference, and then the likeness is the untold possibilities to solve it without dumping it, because there's nobody there to dump it in the first place on. God is dumping on God. You see? But you have to play the charade in order to come to the realization that it is a wonderful opportunity to play it. See, so the horoscope, or the scope of the horror, is the process set up to evaluate the thing. So.
But we don't have to be locked into that anymore.
No, we don't have to. Because in the first place, it's a charade that is set up to us to play. It's called a movie or a stage. You have your entrance and exit, or that's the
script.
The script, right, yeah. So you play it, but remember, the actor is already trained to act. You don't hire an untrained person to act. So if consciousness is trained to act within the framework of its own projected movie, the reward of the trained actor bringing out the best of his role or her role is cosmic Oscar, which means permanency without decomposition. Call it non-decomposing or immortality or resurrection. That's the reward of facing the atomic processes within your own nature and experiencing it without dumping or passing the buck.
And Adano, that wouldn't matter what your health has been through your life. At that point, the atomic structure changes because
right.
you stuck it out. That's the Oscar part.
That's right.
So what would happen if, say, somebody was very, very unhealthy, had problems, but was really good and, you know, did their life well and stuck it out? Mm-hmm. Then would their whole system change at
yes.
that point?
Yes.
Yeah. It would.
Yeah. Oh. Now, after they don't play the role and dump the costume in the washing machine
mm-hmm.
and put it on back. So the washing machine took play of. And took care of the apparent dirtiness or breakdownness of the costume.
So what's the washing machine represent then? That symbol, like?
The washing machine represents facing what you see. Whatever you see, face it. That's the washing machine. Because this costume has to go through it. And you have to say it through this costume.
Oh, that's what you say to yourself then is good. Oh my God, I don't.
Because you're going to swallow your own saliva if you call me a son of a bitch. It don't hurt me, it hurt you first. Your saliva is in your mouth, it isn't in my ears.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh, right.
See, so you don't want to do that to anybody no more. Because after all, that's kind of foolish when you understand the mechanics of your makeup.
Is it the words you say, or is it the meaning or the feeling behind the words?
All three.
So even saying something in quote jest,
yes.
you're still playing with fire.
That's right. But then you see, you have the compensation of canceling what you say.
And yeah, how do you do that?
If you say something that is negative at that moment, you can stop it. Say, no. Cancel.
Just like a computer.
Right. Because this is the compensatory action to recognize the mistake of voicing a statement that is not true, only out of anguish or hostility. Then you have this eraser condition.
So it's not saying sorry, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, it's too late, isn't it?
Right.
Cancel is a lot better. Yeah. It's eternal vigilance, isn't it?
You answer it right. Eternal vigilance. So that is the underlying principle of all disciplines. So there's only three disciplines, and what underlines it is vigilance. So they call you a
vigilante. Right?
Vigilante.
Donald, the thing I've noticed more and more is that the world has turned into a place where I get what I ask for now.
What?
Where I get what I ask for, and it's sort of scary because I get stuff that I shouldn't have asked for.
Well, you see, at least. This experience is better than the something for nothing attitude. That it makes you aware that you don't have to apply something for nothing attitude that you abused or did or is inherent in the memory. Is that we can state things and see them happen faster than norm, as they should have occurred, and become competent to cope with it and be willing to state it and experience it without fear. So therefore, from that actual experience, you go to state ideal things all the time to experience, and not state impractical things to experience.
Oh boy, is that a big
one. You see, what's the value of it is to have had all those previous experiences and memory banks to guide you now to function in a rational way of stating and experiencing.
I've shared this with some of the people here, but I haven't shared it with everyone. And it's just kind of an example of this that the people I haven't shared it with might enjoy. But after Adano, when you came out to the mountain this summer in August, we put we lived out at Fir Mountain. We had while you were out there, and we put a prayer out to have a spiritual center in that area, or at the ranch or whatever. I had done a medicine wheel river trip early in the summer where I had asked for it. It was kind of a symbolic thing that we did, where we were using metaphors, and I asked my ancestors for that. And then Adano came and we took him over to the ranch and we put a prayer out for the same thing. About what, a week later? The owners who are, I mean, they're not into this kind of stuff at all, you know, came up, and the company that I work for, the river company I work for, we have kind of a vision of taking people down into the canyon to just experience this same kind of thing, just to give them an environment that lets that happen. And we had been thinking that the ranch would be a good place for, we do a lot of workshop type trips, and it would be a good place to bring those people before and after trips for kind of a break in before and going down on the river and then coming off for a few days. And the Wilsons came up, and Bobby just asked them what they would think about that if we ran it, and you know, it would kind of pay the ranch doesn't make money, it's a nonprofit place, but if we generated enough income to cover costs on it. And they immediately said, well, when can we meet Gar? And within 2 weeks from that, Gar got off the river. They wanted to meet him. They sent a letter. They backed it up. Gar got off the river. They all hit it off real well, and it's all going under now. So it's in the working stage right now.
Fantastic. It does work.
You see, as we approach the Aquarian cycle more, by the planet moving on its axis with the other planets and the sun, the inhabitants are constantly stimulated from within their own makeup, because 144 elements are in you. The same type is in him. The same type is in me, because we're all 144 elements. Iron is iron. Mm-hmm. But the time frame that we come in, maybe January the 5th of 1934 or September the 10th of 1945, that would be the differential action of those elements interfacing. So those who have any responsible or hold any condition or form of property, they would be in certain mental actions with their elements. So when you start to set up a thought to want to improve upon the immediate lifestyle, because we're environmentally moving through space, which demands this particular recognition by its own momentum to be flexible, everyone begins to sense that particular need as it's presented. So those people owning the land were placed in a situation to be the prepared surprise before you come along to discover they had it. Mm-hmm. But they are living in the anticipation of what to do with it, because more is being given to them to go someplace else, so they have to ignore what they got. So it was well planned to be a reserve in their frame of possession, but as well necessary to surprise you as a need to fit your ongoing unfoldment in the same process. So you see, each person is contributing to the other unknowingly to the other.
Uh-huh.
So as they get and have to put aside a surplus, you get the surplus to move within the framework, and they get so progressively.
If a Capricorn teacher came to teach discipline, what does the Sagittarian come to teach?
Well, there are Sagittarian teachers that teach us how to be benevolent.
Be benevolent.
What's
see,
that mean?
A Jupiter type person is a benevolent person, meaning they offer you the chance to look at yourself and accept yourself quicker. So that's the benevolence in it. In other words, they're making the walnut easy to eat in a shorter space of time.
Mm.
See? Now, the walnut tree has to be grown, but the walnut takes 34 years originally to grow and produce the nut to be eaten. Now, they can reduce the 34 to 17 years eating time, but they don't reduce the fact that they got to take care of the walnut tree and grow it. See, so the Sagittarian person or Jupiterian principle in them is that they come to offer you experience in the process of participation in a shorter space of time, but making you more conscious of cleaning up yourself too. So you're not getting something for nothing, but you're getting a shorter time period to the experiential level of yourself. In other words, instead of having to wait a longer period to experience, the period is shortening, but instead of having to postpone the cleaning up, you are becoming more conscious to clean up.
Mm.
See, you want to say honestly, you're going to be interested to clean up in order to experience what would take more time, see. So it's a compensation of time. You reduce the time to clean up by reducing the time to experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you postpone the time to clean up, then you have to postpone the time of experience.
Experience.
See?
Okay, and so there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's what's coming, huh?
It's kind of a thought that hit me of what do you do when you work through everything when you're here? It's just that. Or what do you do without all the dramas and all the cleaning up and the... What do you do?
You run the program.
I guess you help other people. Or?
Well, we can't leave you to yourself in the process. We have to be here to see that you are getting the results and to have a backup booster charges to ensure that it's not a figment of imagination. So that's the reason why there are those who are always here to work with us, to constantly raise us to the realization that they're not leaving us to ourselves, and that we may always feel comfortable with their presence, visible or invisible, and not to feel left out and that they're no longer interested in us. So that's the reason why they hang around all the time. So they call them manifested or ascended master. Ascended means they're not visible. Manifested means they will stick around, be visible some of the time, but they're not going to interfere. But they'll give you booster charges to reinforce you so that you hang in there and accomplish it. It's a good way of that we have beings who will spend the time to be cosmic nursemaids. Well, I guess I gotta go work on a patient.
Work on a patient?